Sunshine go away today. I don't feel much.
Tired of hiding from the power of the Arizona sun? It's time you learn how to harness that power. We've got the solar experts from Harmon Solar here to tell you how. Now back to Rosie on the House. Sunshine go.
Oh man, we're coming into the last half hour of the show. We've got so much more to cover, so I need y'all just fasten your seatbelts, strap on your thinking cap. We're covering solar, and I'm trying to get it to a point where we're untangling all the confusion that's out there. We're here with Josh Held, Vice President of Sales at Harmon Solar. Look, we're not going to get through everything, all the other talking points I have. How are people going to get a hold of you when we're done here? A
couple of different ways. First way is you can go to our website at harmonsolar.com. You can find all the information on there that can help answer the questions we don't get to today. Or give us a call, 1-800-281-3189. Again, 1-800-281-3189. As your Rosie certified partner, we're here to answer your questions and help show you the way to saving money with solar power.
And we missed our trivia question. We were just so packed with information. What is Arizona's largest game bird? I got this wrong.
It's got to be a turkey.
It is. I was thinking sandhill crane. They're taller, okay. Probably. All right. But I picked sandhill crane. And there's another good one in here that I really like because I knew the arm thing was a hoax. How can you tell the age of a saguaro? What's the best factor?
We're here with Marshall Trimble, the author of the book, Arizona Trivia.
Will you ask it?
There's so many that say, you know, it takes 75 years lady. To get yeah. an arm, and every year's an arm. Arms have nothing to do. It's
right.
strictly on
yeah.
the height.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
is there a rule of thumb, a height per year? Or
Very, very slow, yeah. They could be 100, 150 years old. I adopted one in Cave Creek a few years ago, and I thought they named it after me out at the museum, and I was all excited. I thought I was going to have this beautiful, and it was about the size of your thumb. I'd like to go back and see my child someday, see how it's grown, if a javelina didn't eat it.
Oh, man. Here with Marshall Trimble and Josh from Harmon Solar. Let's get back to the topic at hand, solar. I want to talk a little bit, Josh, what do you take the homeowner through in assessing the viability of a solar installation on any particular address wherever they are in Arizona? What criteria checklist do you go through?
Sure. Well, the first one we touched on a little bit earlier, and the most important is, what is their energy consumption? We want to know how much energy they're using in their home so we properly design a system and efficiently display how much savings they're going to get from that system. Then once we move forward, we need to assess a lot of different variables. We talked about the roof being a big one. Another one is structural integrity of the home. We want to know, can that house structurally handle solar panels being put on top of the roof?
But they're not heavy. They only weigh like 15 pounds a piece. Yeah. They're nothing to
them.
No,
they're about 40 pounds, actually.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, but still, you know, in the scope of a...
I must be stronger than I thought.
Yeah, in the scope of a roof, that isn't very heavy from a dead load perspective. You're absolutely right. What we're concerned about is the uplift. There's some space between the panels and the roof that's intentionally put there
for airflow
go through. And that airflow, as it goes through, is going to create uplift like a kite pulling up on the roof. And
peel the roof right off the house.
Exactly. So we want to make sure that we assess the structural integrity by having a structural engineer take a look at the truss work, the framing, the pullout strength of how that house was built so that we ensure when we put a solar system on top of it, that we're not going to put that house in danger as it goes forward for the next 20, 30 years with that solar system attached to it.
And how about the existing mm-hmm. electric panel, what mm-hmm. we call the service entrance section, where the meter socket and the power actually enters the house?
Exactly.
Do we have to, does that play any role at all?
Plays a huge role. Remember, we're backfeeding this energy right into that infrastructure that's existing, and we do that through that service entrance section, that electric panel. Most systems do not require any modifications to that electric panel. However, when you get into larger system sizes, we need to engineer that system to adequately backfeed. And if we need to, at times, we need to upgrade that service panel or make modifications to that service panel to allow our system to efficiently integrate with the existing infrastructure of the home.
Speaking of existing infrastructures, Rick already has solar. And he's going to upgrade.
All right.
It sounds like a Tim Allen. More power. Rick, welcome to the program.
Hi. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Rick.
So, yes, I did. I was just going to bring up a couple of things I ran into with, and I did re-roof. I went to the referral list, went to the electricians, and went to the roofers. And because it was about 18 years old, house, I think 17 years old at the time, so did the re-roofing. And because of the size system, it was a 10 kW, they said my 200-amp service wasn't sufficient. So I went to a 225-amp. Now, on the plus side, your electricians were explaining to me how my old service was an aluminum main bus, and the new one was copper, and that was an improvement that would benefit me down the road, I guess. And the other thing, questions I was going to throw out real quick and then get off your line was leasing. I thought leasing sounded good to me and went that way because I thought then I'm covered for that entire term versus if I bought, then I would just have the warranties of the different components, which seem to be shorter time spans than the lease would run.
That's a good detail.
And mine has an escalator of $3 every year, so each year my payment was going up. And my payment was supposed to be based more or less on, you know, providing me 50% of the electricity that I was getting from SRP. So my lease and such was kind of based on that in the initial state, and then the $3 per year escalator to keep up with supposed rises in SRP's cost. And hey, last I wanted to throw real quick. Hi, Marshall Trimble. I'm an old Coronado High student. I was not fortunate enough to be in one of your classes, but yeah, back then, even then, you were well known for bringing a lot of fun to the education process. And I really missed out on not getting your class.
Well, thanks. As an old teacher, that's about the nicest compliment a guy can get.
Excellent.
Well, Rick covered a lot of ground there.
Can you sure did. First, let me say, Rick, I too am a Coronado Don alumni.
Watch
so,
out.
Yeah.
Go Dons.
You made some great points there. First, you touched on a lot of the very specific details that need to be considered in the service panel. And it is important to go with a solar contractor that understands those things in system design. These are complicated electrical production systems that need to be designed adequately to keep your house safe and produce energy for you. So good job doing all the due diligence you did before putting that up. In regards to leasing, you're absolutely right. In a lease model, it is going to be covered under warranty by the lessor for the 20-year term of the lease. That means you do not have to worry about maintenance, insurance of that system, warranties. If something breaks in that 20-year period, the lessor is going to pay to fix it. If you purchase a system and do not lease, that is on the homeowner that purchases it. So it's very important to understand that difference. Know what the manufacturer warranties are on the product so that if you do purchase it, you understand the potential future costs that you may have to incur to keep that system working down the road.
All right. With all that said, we're going to take off into a little rosy segment here that we always do at this point of the show. It's called the Arizona Staycation. But before I get there, I want to follow up on last week's show out at the home show. We were at University of Phoenix Stadium. I just want to do a few shout-outs. There was Terry and Gary that both came by, and they said, you know what? If they're not Rosie certified, they don't get on our property. That's awesome.
Two different people? Terry.
It was a husband and wife.
Terry and Gary. Yeah. Oh, that's all I was trying to ask.
No one gets on our property unless they're Rosie certified. You know, Tina was new from Maine, had just moved to Arizona, so we had a long visit about what services we provide, as well as Connie from New York, Linda from Pennsylvania. But I can't pass up the opportunity for thanking the Marine Brothers, the Rose. Marshall, do you like buttermilk?
Yeah.
I love buttermilk, but you can't buy whole buttermilk in Arizona. They brought me a quart of whole buttermilk all the way from the Midwest. and it's called Gourmet Buttermilk. Mm. And if I'd have known you like buttermilk, I'd have brought you a little thimbleful. That's
next
all
time,
I would share with
instead
you.
Instead of a glass of wine, instead of going out for a glass of wine, we'll go out and have a glass of buttermilk.
Oh, that was the best buttermilk. And it was the brother that brought it was a decorated Marine. He had medals all over. He could hardly get out of our booth. We had so many people walking by and just thanking him for his service. He was wearing a 50-year-old uniform. And it looked like it was the day he tried it on. I mean, it was just absolutely. It was
Marines are always squared away.
There were people literally in tears. Well, yeah, the Semper Fi there, but I see it. You guys do have a way of holding your shape, that's for sure. The we literally had people in the booth tearing up just to shake the man's hand, and I mean, it was awe inspiring, and that let me go in the corner of the booth and cry and sip on my buttermilk. Hey, it's the Arizona Staycation. It's brought to you by Arizona Highways Magazine and Sanderson Ford. You register for it at rosieonthehouse.com. And here's what you do. You register for it, and every month, we're going to pick a winner. And as a winner, you get to go to Sanderson Ford and pick any car that they have in their demo lot. And then you tell us where you want to go in Arizona. We find the lodging for you. Jennifer buys you a gas card. So this is no blackout dates. Go anywhere, no blackout locations. You pick the Arizona vacation that you want, and we put it together for you. And boy, we've almost touched every corner of the state. We've been doing this for about 2 years now. We're having a blast. Harmon Solar, you guys are doing an Arizona staycation.
We are. We want to entice all of those solar proponents out there to tell their family and friends and office workers and everyone they know that they need to investigate solar. So for the months of August and September, the person who refers the most people that have a qualified appointment and let us give a proposal to show them how much money they can save with solar is going to win a staycation in the beautiful town of Sedona. It'll be in the fall. We're going to put you up at the Sedona Rouge Hotel. We're going to get you a tour of Page Springs Winery, which is just a short distance from Sedona, and a basket with a couple of bottle of wines and a gift card so that you can go up and relax in the beautiful town of Sedona.
And how do people get a hold of Harmon Solar?
Yeah, thanks, Rosie. Once again, harmonsolar.com. And if you want to refer those friends and family of yours for this promotion, you can put in harmonsolar.com/referrals. And there's a page there for you to enter your information as well as your contacts information that you'd like to refer to be a part of this wonderful promotion. And we're excited to give away this great staycation.
For our last trivia question of the day, it is only right to ask this. What and where was the hottest temperature recorded in Arizona? Not only that, what about the coldest? After this.